and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and I will gladly turn it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We're glad to be here. Wonderful that we have this show to get the message out and talk to people and give somebody a little different, something different to think about every now and then. But I enjoy you listening to the show. You know, we take calls in here, by the way. It's 740-383-WWGH or 383-9944. If you have any questions or even a prayer request, please call in. Just keep it decent, keep it clean, and we'll have a great time.
Absolutely.
I've got a lot on my mind this week, and my mind's kind of been all over the place, although those that know me would say that it usually is. I've been thinking about, and I was just having a discussion a few minutes ago about this, and I just want to briefly bring it up, and then I want to go to some thoughts on the matter. We had a horrible time this last week with the death toll in New Zealand and that massacre in the mosque. 50-plus people were gunned down and murdered. We saw their pictures all over the news of the people and the victims. And it's very sad and very evil. That's all I can say about that. What that man did, it was pure evil, and there was no reason for it whatsoever. But I want to read you an article real quickly, and these have been all over the place as I find this. And this one is from... I'm trying to think who the... I can't think of the author, but it's the Political Insider. And it says, a deadly mosque shooting in New Zealand last Friday captured the world's attention after 50 innocent people were targeted and killed, seemingly for their religion. Yet at the same time, Christians are being murdered in Nigeria in great numbers. Fulani jihadists racked up a death toll of over 120 Christians. I just lost 120 Christians over the past 3 weeks in central Nigeria, employing machetes and gunfire to slaughter men, women, and children, burning down over 140 houses, destroying property, and spreading terror. Since last month, at least 120 people have been killed in a series of alleged attacks by the Fulani militia on Christian communities. CBN News reports, according to the nonprofit group Christian Solidarity Worldwide, the organization reported 52 people were killed and 100 homes were destroyed just last Monday in the latest attacks on in Krimini Daganama villages in Mero, Kajaro. Man, well, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Local government area reports. The victims included women and children. How horrific was it? Survivors of the attack told CSW that their assailants divided into three groups. CBN News notes, one group shot and killed people, the other set fire to homes as people ran away, and the third waited in the bush to intercept fleeing villagers. This is awful. Like the New Zealand attacks, these people are obviously the victims of terrorists who are seemingly targeting them for their religion. So why is this likely the first time that you're hearing about it? And you know what? I want to tell you something. I'm just going to leave that out there and let you think about that a minute. Why are we not hearing about the genocide of Christians all over the world, quite frankly? I guess it's not something that wants to make the news cycle, or there's it's not going to grab the right attention. It's not an immediate gun crime like it was in New Zealand, where, you know, that catches the attention anytime you mention guns, you know, by a single shooter. But this is indeed a horrific thing that's going on. It is horribly horrific. These are innocent villagers, people, Africans, that are being gunned down, are being slaughtered, beheaded, simply because they're Christians, and it's not being reported. And I think about that, and then I start to get depressed. And then and that's the side of me where I don't like to go, because I think I can't do anything about this. Not me physically. How do I get people to understand this stuff goes on all over the world and not just where the news tells us, where it wants us to direct us at the particular reason for a particular agenda? And it's really sad today that with all the news media that we have in the world, that it's so agenda driven, and the agenda may be a money driven thing. That may be their agenda. It may not be the story at all. It may just be where their cash comes from. But why are we singling out and pigeonholing so many stories when there's so much to be reported on the world that we have a right to know? Now, I will say this. There's some personal responsibility in that, that if you really want to know what's going on in the world, you can find out. The story that I just told about has been on the news for weeks now, months, actually, years. You can follow it. You know, Google it. You'll find it, you know. You know, put on their genocide of Christians, and these stories will just start popping up right and left, or any other group as far as that goes. And the point is, it's easy for us just to turn on and listen, grab a story and go. So the media wants to take something that's going to grab you really quickly. What this guy did in New Zealand was just pure evil. That's all you can say about it. And I was thinking about something this week. That, one, we can't change evil, only God can. And we're always trying to legislate something, aren't we? We're always trying to say, if we just solve this problem, everything will go away. If we just get rid of guns, there won't be any violence. If we just take care of this particular, maybe they're a hate group, then there won't be any hate anymore. And if we just support this political party, then everything will be well. If we just support this candidate, then everything will be well. Do we realize that that's been going on since the beginning of time? It doesn't work. There's two forces in this world. There's good and there's evil. And there's always going to be good and evil. And the best thing that we can do is convert as many people from evil to good and protect those that are doing good. Because evil will always have with us. We always will. We cannot legislate morality. Think about that. I can believe in being moral all day long and following the Word of God and doing what God tells me is a right moral thing to do. And I can be in a point where I don't understand how anyone can think any differently. But if I pass a law to make that person be moral, it isn't going to work if they're not moral. You see what I mean? If you're going to kill somebody and you're bent on killing somebody, you're going to kill somebody. You're going to find a way to do it. And that's what we have to understand. There's a passage I want to look at this evening. Some of you are probably familiar with. It is in Ephesians. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. It says, "Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their own thoughts." Now think about that a minute. Okay, so Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's saying, look, who are the Gentiles? They were the non-Jews, right? And they were living in the futility of their own thoughts, which is, without God to direct their thoughts and what they're doing, everything they came up with didn't work. I mean, think about that. If God has the answer in His Word, and the more we study His Word, the more we learn to know joy, peace, and all those things, everything else we come up with is going to be futile because it's not working. And He says that we shouldn't walk that way in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of this ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. So in other words, you have people that literally reject the moral standard and what God has said. They reject what God has offered, which is His Son Christ, to cover our sin. They reject all that. Why in the world should we then expect them to have a moral line of thinking when they've rejected it? You see what I mean? If I want to do what seems good to me, it could run all over the place. We can have situational ethics all day long. where, well, I did this because of this, and it didn't really hurt this person, and by the way, it made me feel good, and all along, it's not right. We have to have a moral starting point. We talked about that a few weeks ago, having that moral base, having that point in which we start from, that baseline, which is the Word of God and what it says. And then it says, they became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. Very interesting that what that says, a desire for more and more. And you will find that when people give themselves over to a debased way of thinking, whether it's pornography or any sort of evil thing, they can't feed it enough. In other words, it's not like, I'll give you an example of pornography. Somebody likes to look at certain pictures. Well, it isn't too long before that just don't cut it anymore. Now the pictures need to be a little more graphic. And maybe 6 months from now, well, that's kind of getting old too. And they got to look a little more graphic. And you can't feed. You can't. That's why they want more and more. Another thing that you look at, another example of that would be our young people. It's amazing today in today's culture, and it's affected us too, Terry, is that, and I brought this up last week, Psycho, the movie. There was no violence in that. There was a picture of someone behind a shower curtain, and people hid their head when it came on, when they just heard that bloop, bloop, you know, that music coming on. They hid their head. But today, that people have been so calloused by blood and guts and gore that it doesn't even affect them anymore. And they got to have more and more. And you know, Hollywood's saying to itself, come on, folks, how much more gory we can get to get you to want to come and see a movie? You know, I talk to people that go see those things. Oh, that thing wasn't anything. That was nothing. Oh, we wasted our money. And if I were to go see it, I'd be having my head under the covers, man, I'm telling you. But see, that's what happens. And you know, the Bible is very clear on these things. And how in the world did that goofy old man Paul know that 2,000 and some years ago, that went from city to city, that was a tent maker, you know, that became an evangelist? You know, how did he know that? That's what happened to those people, that they became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with desire for more and more. How did he know that? Well, I think I know how. But that is not how you came to know Christ, it says. Assuming you heard about him and were taught by him as the truth in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth. Let's see, how can someone read that today in boredom and no fun at all? I mean, that's honestly how some people are going to read that. And I don't mean to be sacrilegious or blasphemous in saying that. But what I'm saying is that so many people today think that if you follow Christ, that somehow you got to walk around looking like a monk. You know what I mean? That's not the case. You know, God has designed us to enjoy life and enjoy our things in life. You know, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I don't think anyone does. But I do believe that some of our desires here on earth that God gave us naturally, he's probably going to use in heaven, and we're not going to lose those desires. You know, God gives us things because he loves us and wants us to love things. Things like music, things like being an artist, things like whatever it is. Maybe you're a consoling type person, and maybe you're going to be someone that teaches or whatever those things that happen. They're there for a reason. You know, happiness... I think the great myth, Terry, is this, that doing things that probably aren't right, that maybe morally aren't right, will make us happy. The truth of the matter is that we do those things because we are unhappy and we're trying to find something to cover up our unhappiness. When the truth is, what God says is, turn to me, and I'll take care of that happiness. I'll show you that joy. And as long as we have a world that, as long as we have people in the world that reject God and reject what he's doing, there's no hope for their happiness. They're just going to want more and more of evil. How in the world can you say as a person that marching into villages and slaughtering people is a good thing today. We've had wars. There's reasons for wars. They have to happen sometimes. But should someone enjoy doing it? I certainly would hope not. And, you know, people say, well, you know, Pastor, look at all the evil that's been done in the name of Christianity, right? Right. Well, I have an answer for that. You can take on a title without being what it is. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just because you call yourself something doesn't mean that let me tell you, if you're out there and you're destroying people for no reason whatsoever and doing evil things, I can promise you that you're not following the God that I know. And I'm sure that you're not, that you never have. Yeah, we can point all kinds of things in the name of this group or that group or that group. It's the evil within them that's the problem. You see what I mean? It's the evil that's within particular groups. You know, it's real easy for us to label. Labeling's so easy. I was talked to Scott a few minutes ago, and I said, you know, it's kind of interesting. And this is an interesting story, and I hope that you out there are listening loud and clear, because I truly believe this from my heart. I'm not just saying this. You know, there is racism that goes on in this country. But I'll tell you something else there is. There's a lot of love. I was going down to Columbus today to pick a lady up at Grand Hospital and bring her home, and I stopped in a truck stop, and I went in, and there was an African-American man working behind the counter. And I noticed that first when I went up, hey, buddy, how's it going today? And, you know, like jovial talk, like I would with anybody, because he is anybody to me, right? And then another guy came up behind me, a trucker, and he said, hey, bud, how's it going? You know, that kind of thing. And I see this all the time. And I go to, I had mentioned when I went on a trip down south a while back, you know, I was watching the interaction between people just in a restaurant, like a McDonald's type place. And I was seeing how much they were laughing and joking back and forth. And I thought to myself, where in the world's all this hatred between the races? Well, yeah, it's there. But how much of it is driven? Why isn't that the media isn't saying, look at the example of these people. Isn't this cool? Rather than always pitting us against each other to try and fester up at the problem words. So I can tell you why. It's a four-letter word. And I know I don't like to use four-letter words on this show, but I'm going to use one. And I'll spell it out. It's easier than saying it. C-A-S-H. Cash. All these holier-than-thou talking heads are more worried about cash than they are you, the American people, getting an honest perspective of what's going on in your neighborhood, in your communities, in society, and in the world. What benefit is there to this country to driving people against each other and group against group? You perpetuate a false hatred, and by perpetuating that false hatred, you bring out that hatred and you make it occur. If I'm a young man, I'm a real impressionable young person, and I'm watching a news story, and there's somebody beating the tar out of someone of my race because they're my race, according to the story. Don't you think I want to go out there and whip that other person? Or you see what I mean? This hatred is being perpetuated. It's taken to school. You know, the adults see it. The parents see it. They watch it on the news. I just think that, you know, we have to understand something. Evil is evil and good is good. There are people that love God and they follow him just like Paul said to do. We should be different in our hearts and minds. We should be seeking Christ for how we behave. And what I want you to understand is that they're not all white people. They're not all black people. There's some yellow people in there. There's some tan people. There's just all kinds of people. Because God indiscriminately calls us to him. God doesn't know race. God knows love. And God knows sin. And he also knows what paid for sin, and that was his son Christ on the cross. And he didn't call out any particular person. to say that, you know what, I'm going to save these people and no one else. And we need to understand that. And here's the thing, you know, you even go into neighborhoods. Let me talk a little bit more about this whole thing of evil and what's wrong in places. First of all, if you're in a community, and say those people in that community are truly trying to live by the Word of God, and the only way to do that is to be in it, right? You can say, I read my Bible all the time, and very few people truly can honestly say that. Now, the Bible tells us the only way that we're going to know joy and a right way of living and a right mind is to stay in the Bible, stay in His Word. So say I'm going to get up every morning, and first thing I'm going to say to myself is, oh, it's a bright new day. I need to open the Word of God and get charged this morning. I'm going to read for 5 minutes, okay? Or I'm going to get up in the morning and say, oh, man, I'm really hungry. I got to get on the coffee and make some eggs. Now, I can guarantee you're going to say 1,000 times, I need eggs and coffee before you ever say, I need to open the Word of God and get charged for the day. And the Bible, you know, we're told that we need to make a habit of God's Word. And the only way you're going to start to have a habit is to literally make that habit happen. You know, it's not, well, it lasted 5 days and I quit. It lasted 10 days and I quit. You make it, put a spot on the calendar and say, I'm going to read my Bible every day through this point. And I can promise you that after about 60 to 90 days, you know, you're going to be so filled with desiring what's being taught you every day that you are going to be going back to it and desire to go back to it. Most people never allow themselves the time to learn and know the Word of God or even learn to desire it. They grab some quick catchphrases, flip on the radio, maybe a Christian channel going to work, but they're not getting into the Word, and that's what we're told to do. So what I was getting at is this. Say you have a community where you are doing that. You're all studying the Word, and you're going by the moral precepts in there and what we're taught. First, let me tell you some things that are going to happen. A, you're not going to have a bunch of violence, because there won't be any. B, you're going to have people that are responsible and love each other and care for each other, right? C, you're going to have people that take care of those that are downtrodden and need help and are hungry and take care of those people. People are going to do the best job they can at their job and be good employees because the Bible tells us to do all things is under the Lord. And on and on it goes. So, is there a possible utopia? Well, not in our world. But the truth of the matter is, if you study the Word of God and you did what the Word of God said, other than some slip-ups here and there, you're going to have a pretty daggone good community. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be as close to utopia as you can get. Now, let's look at another situation. Now we're going to go in a community where God's been rejected. People are living for their own selves, doing what they want to do. They've been given over to a debased mind because they pushed God away. They got to have more and more and more of stuff to keep them happy and going. Everybody wants what they want. Remember the song Money? Money is blah, 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 keep your hands off of my stack. That whole attitude, you know. I'm more important than you and get out of my space. I want this, I want that. You know, in a community like that, you know, crime's going to climb, hatred's going to climb, people are pitted against people, all those kind of things will happen. Now, all of a sudden, the community starts falling apart, and a lot of people aren't working, and the companies may shut down because of greedy situations where they did this or did that and overshot this, and all these things come into play, because that's what sin does. It corrupts, and it destroys. Okay, so now you've got this corrupt, destroyed society, and then we go in with our white flag, and we're going to save that community, right? And the first thing that we're told to do is to love and take care of the poor, right? So we go in, and first thing we do want to do is start feeding them and get them out of their poverty status and get them feeling good and healthy again and all that. What have we just done? All we've done is fed into the same thing that was already there. We're just giving them more longevity in which to do it. You see where I'm at? Now, that's why I firmly believe in what the Word of God teaches is that the only way we're going to change that community and go into it for the better is to go into it waving the Word of God as the white flag. Now, are we going to feed people and feed the hungry and bandage the wounded and help the sick? Of course we are. But if we were to go in there and not share what the Word of God says that will make them a whole healthy community, we've missed the whole point. So the point is, missions without the gospel is not missions at all. You see where I'm at? If I've got a bunch of hungry wolves, I'm not going to make them peaceful and loving by throwing scraps to them or by throwing them a dog to chew on. I'm not going to do that. If I got ravenous wolves, the first thing I got to do is figure out how do I keep them from being ravenous, right? Huh? I got to change that wolf. You see what I mean? I got to do some selective breeding and get them out of that pack. It's the same thing with people. The only way you're going to change a community is if we come from a same basic moral area, and that works. You know, when the pilgrims came over to this country and started this country, they were fleeing a system that would not allow them to have religious freedom and do what they wanted to do. And the freedoms that we have been given in this country. They came here and they did that. I know that our kids are being taught today, the whole Revolutionary War was over taxation without representation. Quite frankly, that was a straw that caused the conflict to happen. But actually, if you look at history, that was also something that was kind of, there were some things behind the scene that almost made sure that did happen. But the whole reason was we wanted to separate it from England because we had decided that we were going to be a nation of liberty, where people had liberty to live as they saw fit, where people had liberty to live without being told what they had to do with their own personal lives. And a lot of that was religious freedom. You know, we weren't going to be bound under a system that forced us to pay homage to a church that was doing nothing for us and was not bringing us any closer to God. We wanted freedom in that area. So that's what happened. But then over years, what happens is, you know, look at this country. Our country's over 200 years old now. The longest free nation of anywhere in the world. We've been the greatest nation of anywhere. But over a period of time, those same things want to creep in that we fled before to get here. And are we going to stand up for what we believe, or are we just going to let it go? You know, I truly can't believe there's actually people out there. And I just literally can't believe it, Terry, that people are out there buying into this socialism thing. It's insane. If you look around the world, the socialist societies, they're a mess. And they always have been. Socialism doesn't work because ultimate power corrupts. And when you have someone at the top controlling all the money, i.e. the government, every dime, what everybody does, what everybody makes, how much, you know, we're in trouble. The reason that we're in trouble today in our own government, I believe, is because we have let it go too far. We've let this monster get too big. We have forgotten the fact that we have a representative style government to where those people go to Washington and represent us. And what's happened is they go to Washington and represent government, represent themselves, and put us in tyranny. And that's what they're really doing. They're putting us in tyranny. They have no right to pass some of the things they tell us to do. It's some of it's not. We have things called states' rights and individual rights. If we're not committing a crime, and a crime is typically something, a law that's written because it's hurting someone else, right? Or for the betterment of the country. If we're not committing a crime, leave us alone. Quite frankly, really, what are you doing? You know, if I'm a person and I have certain religious beliefs, no matter what that religion is, unless it's physically, I mean really physically hurting someone or being over the top cruel, we have no right to step in. You know, if we've got a religion in the country that's sacrificing children on an altar, which we do, by the way, think about that for a few minutes, but we have a right to step in and say, no, you're not doing that. That's evil and wicked. You can't do it. And if we've got a religion that's coming in that is circumcising little baby girls and doing this stuff that's mutilating them, we have a right to step in and say, you're not going to do that. But beyond that, as far as the religious practice and what we do, we are a free nation. And if I don't want to, if I don't want for religious purposes to do business with you, I have a right to do that, right? Just like you have a right not to do business with me because, quite frankly, I don't like you. Don't we have a right to not like something? I mean, I think we do. You know, how far does it go? At some point, do we start writing tickets to Browns fans because they won't buy Bengals uniforms? or Bengals memorabilia. Well, what do you mean? That's hatred. You can't hate those Bengals. You got to buy so much of their stuff a year if you're going to buy so much Brown stuff. And we're going to track you through those IPC codes. I mean, think about that. That doesn't sound ridiculous. But that's where this, it goes back to what Scripture said here about giving over to those immoral practices that you can never get enough and enough and enough and enough. I mean, we're feeding into a society that makes a big deal out of everything that comes out of your mouth. They decide that something doesn't make somebody happy and you shouldn't say that. But yet, something else is okay that's equally offensive, but it's okay because it's what they thought was right. I think this stuff's just kind of crazy. We make a personal decision individually whether we want to follow Jesus Christ and we want to follow the Word of God or we don't. I can't make anyone do that. I can try to live the type of lifestyle that would attract people to Christ and they see Christ through me. And then I can share the Word of God with them and pray that through the Lord's drawing that they accept Christ in their life. I can do that. And that they follow Christ and the Word of God and they want that life that He has so beautifully designed for them to have if they follow Him. Or they can say, no, get out of my face and I want to do what I'm going to do. That's going to happen. It's happened since the beginning of the church. The difference is that I don't want them telling me that I got to practice what they do because they don't want to follow God. You see where I'm at? Don't force me to practice something, or don't take my money to practice something that I don't believe in. And it works both ways. You know, one thing that we do very little of in our church, we leave things open for people that are like-minded to give to programs that we do. But we're not out there beating on every door for people to give us money. Because if you don't believe what I believe, and if you don't believe in the ministry that we're doing, I don't want your cash. Whoops. How often do you hear a pastor say that? I don't want your money. You know, if your money's evil, keep it to yourself. I don't want dirty money. I don't want it. And that's kind of where we need to be. Now, by me saying that somebody is practicing evil and doing what's wrong, does that mean I hate them? No, it does not mean I hate them. It means that I'm not going where you're going, buddy. You know, I pray that you come around to where I am because I want you to know the life I have. Not I want to control you. Not I want to lord over you. Not I want to force you to do anything. No, I want you to know the peace that I know. And the more people that understand and know that, the better our society as a whole will be. And then you have those societies where people work well together and can understand. You know, it was just 50 or 60 years ago that even if people didn't belong to the church, society as a whole kind of knew this is somewhere we really need to be. These values work. You know, what these people are doing, it really works. And we had a pretty decent society if you really think about it. I know the people that would want to change society will go back to the 60s, 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 40s even, and talk about how horribly abused women were and how bad it was. I want to tell you today, I know, and research this stuff, folks, it's not hard to do. There has never been a time in society where women were treated worse, where men were treated worse, where children abused more, any more than 2019. Now, I see it everywhere. Abused children in the home, beaten women abused, men walking off and leaving their families, women trying to run the house and raise the kids. Why these guys hang out at home thinking they're some kind of a Svengali. Now, if that is what women's rights and all these things have done for us, what have they really done? You got to ask that question. You know, I firmly believe in equality of every kind, in wages, in how we treat people, in promotions, in all those things. We need to be that society. God made us that way. But He didn't make men to be women, and He didn't make women to be men. And we're designed differently. Our chromosomes are different. We relate differently. And when we act within who we're supposed to be, things seem to work. Isn't that odd? I know that in decades past and in generations past, the proper relationship in a family, a man loved his wife so much that he'd die for her. And a woman loved her husband so much that she died for him. And if you look at a lot of those old relationships, I even think of the Wasserbeck family, Mr. and Mr. Wasserbeck, that just died a couple years ago, Ed's mom and dad, from right over by the Green Camp area, in that area, Green Camp Prospect. They died literally within, I think, hours of each other, maybe even a day. After, I don't know, 65, 70 years of marriage, I don't know the exact number. Why? Because they loved each other that much. See? That was that commitment. They not only were committed to each other, they were committed to the values that we find in Scripture, and they raised a family that way. And we see that. And we're being told today that that never worked. We're being told it was judgmental. We're being told that it was evil. We're being told that it was abusive. That is a horrible, horrible lie that is being fed to people today that just plain isn't true. Were there abusive people within that? Isn't there always bad people within everything? What if four radio broadcasters were to go out and murder a bunch of children? Do I now say that all the radio broadcasters, you got to keep your eye out for them because they're going to murder children? You see, that's not right. But every time that you see they'll talk, and this happens, you know. Talk about a youth pastor that steps out of line and abuses maybe a teenage girl. Horrible thing to happen. You know, he needs to be defrocked, go to jail, and that's the end of it. But the truth is, we have hundreds of thousands of churches in this country. And the odds of that happening are pretty daggone high. We've got hundreds of thousands of school teachers in this country. The odds of a teacher messing with a student, of one or two here or there you hear a year that you hear about, or even 100, is pretty high. Because in any system, you're going to have people that aren't what they claim to be. You see my point? You're going to have people that do bad things. So to point a finger at a group and say, now if there's a particular group that is doing a particular thing and saying it's okay. Like, for instance, when we look at the LDS community, they were saying it was okay to marry 12-year-old girls and have 10 and 20 wives and that controlling thing. I'm not sure where that line is, but I know that that's not something I want to be part of. How about you, Terry? No way. Now, they also claim to love God, and they claim to be followers of God, even though that's a whole different thing there. But anyway, so does that mean that everyone that's a follower of God wants to marry 12-year-old girls? But see, that's what we're being led to believe in this world. We're being led to believe that everybody that's got a gun in their drawer and their nightstand for protection is probably going to fly off the handle and shoot somebody, because only a crazy person would own that. You know, and we're being told And on the other side, we're being told that people that are deathly afraid of guns and doesn't want anyone near their house is just a soft-pedaling sissy, or whatever the case is, or someone out to get my guns. That's not true either. I know people in my own family that are scared to death of them and don't want them around. That's fine. That is their prerogative. But the problem is, instead of seeking what is right, which is good, which we always should, what's right, what's holy, what's honest, following the word of God, we want to divide things up into group and say, if we get rid of this or we tackle this, we're not going to have a problem anymore. That's just not so. Because the problem's a heart problem. It's a condition problem. It's a mind problem. It is not a isolated incident, so to speak. Terry, you know full well, we could take every gun out of this world and the violence would not change. They just find another means in which to do it. And boy, there's plenty of them out there. You know, we could go out there and we could take every person that ever put on a white hood and said a racist comment, and we could arrest them and throw them in jail. And they're still going to have the same problem. We could go out there and over and over and over and over again, until we decide to take personal responsibility for our own lives and be the kind of people we're supposed to be, it isn't going to change. You know, we've got to change things from within ourselves through God and change our lives and then go out there and be that light in the world. That's the only way it's going to change. You know, people aside from God are going to be selfish, narcissistic individuals, and you can never have peace with that kind of people, because somebody's always got to be the big dog. And that evil's going to slip in, and it will. And I sit here and I listen to I sit and I listen to political shows, this banter back and forth. And I listen to this group and that group and that group and this group. And I think you people are not solving a thing because you're not talking about the problem. You're talking about, what are they talking about? They're talking about what the problem produces. They're talking about the symptoms. They're not getting to the problem. The problem is a heart condition. Our political parties should be able to get along just fine. I think they both got some great points. But the problem is they've taken, I'll be honest, they've taken God away from it. You know very well, Terry, I know we just got a few minutes here, but you know very well if if the head of the Democratic Party and the head of the Republican Party and the head of the Libertarian Party, all three of them, I guess those are the three major groups in our country right now, if all three of them would say, you know what, I have made a commitment in my life to Jesus Christ and I'm going to live by these biblical principles, and I'm going to follow it, and I'm going to make decisions based on what God tells me to do. One thing I can promise you for sure, all three parties would drastically change. Their agendas would drastically change. What they say and do to each other would drastically change. See, that's the problem. It's the baseline they're coming from is one from narcissism. It's all about me and what I can get. No matter how nice you want to come across, I get a kick out of some of these people and the way they try to be so kind and compassionate in their talk. And then you see what they're doing, and all they are is a pit viper, you know, trying to coil up and be quiet till you walk by. And it's because of the evil in their life. Let me read something. I got to get off the air because this time is getting away from us, buddy. Says, take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. That's where we're at today. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the earth. It says, therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth to each other, to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Think about that. You think that sounds a little different? It is. Hey, I want to tell you there, if you're going to want to hear a little more and hear the Word of God and come to where people truly love each other and care about each other, please try Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our number is 740-494-2222, and you can find us at prospectccf.com. Our services are Sunday morning at 10:30. And we have Bible study an hour before that. And that evening, we also have youth group and Bible study and midweek services also. So God bless you all. I just love to have you come. Call me if you just got a question. Whatever it is, if you need prayer, call and leave me a message if I'm not there. Terry, how much time we got? 30 seconds? Why I've got you out there, I know this is kind of a hard, straightforward topic tonight, but I want you to know that it comes from love in my heart for everyone, and I want you to know that I don't care what you've done or what you've done in your life, Jesus Christ is there to forgive and restore everything in your life. God bless you.
Good night, guys.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 to